John chapter 12, it is great to have my wife here, Erin. We wanted to bring some of our kids. We have a couple of, at Heartland, one that's already graduated. We have a couple at home. And we had a couples retreat right before this. We were in Missouri, Springfield area, and came up. And so to take our kids to a couples retreat wasn't going to work. So we left them at home, and they're not with us. We wish they could be here. But hopefully we'll be able to come back at some point and bring them with us, and you can meet them as well. We just love serving God. That's our family, and we've been in South Dakota for a little bit more than 6 years now, and grateful to be in the ministry. It's a blessing. I don't deserve it, and yet I'm privileged to be a part of God's work. So I want to be a help to you. John chapter 12, if you found it, stand and say amen. Amen. Okay. All right. Some of you grunted while you stood up. Amen. Okay. Here we are. We're ready to read it together. John chapter 12. Very familiar story, but one that I think can be a help to us, especially considering the theme this week. It says in John 12 verse 1, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him." Can you imagine eating with somebody who just a few days before was dead? I mean, that's pretty amazing. And verse 3, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" As if he really cared about the poor. "This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Mary, in this story, again, I'm going to try to move very efficiently along, but Mary just wants to express her love to Jesus Christ. And I truly believe if we're going to get the theme this week, "But first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." If our heart is where it ought to be, there's nothing God can ask of us this week that we won't be able to or be willing to give Him. And when you think about how much you have received from Jesus Christ, if you're going to express your love, really there's nothing, we can't really give Him anything less than everything. Because He's given us everything. And I want to consider that a few truths this morning about unwasted love. Unwasted love. Everyone around Mary said, "What a waste!" But God saw it differently, because there's nothing we can give to Jesus that's wasted. Father, I pray for your help. I pray that you'd help me to convey this and to do it in a way that both gets the point across, mindful though of to want to make good use of our time this morning. We love you. We need you. We pray for your blessing and help in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are a few things more frustrating than feeling like you're wasting your time. Last week, I respect Kansas. Okay, I'm going to just say it like that. Most of my experiences with Kansas were from Salina West. And I have a tougher time with that part of Kansas. Now, I will say Eastern Kansas is great. And I like Kansas. But what I don't like about Kansas, if you'll forgive me, we go to Oklahoma a lot, which means we spend a lot of time on the turnpike. And I feel like Kansas, I mean, I feel like I live here. I feel like I'm taxed enough in Kansas to be a citizen of this wonderful state. Just recently, though, and I'm not going to give you all the details because it's a little humbling today, but we were coming back from this meeting in Oklahoma just last week, And we were in a borrowed van because ours broke down, and this was an older van. And the fuel gauge, I'm just going to say the fuel gauge was faulty. Yeah. I think you know where we're going here. Because I thought we had plenty of fuel to get to the next stop. We're on the turnpike. We're visiting. We're talking. It's our staff. And we're just having a grand time together. And suddenly the van starts to do one of these. And I was like, oh no, I think I just ran out of gas. And fortunately, we had another vehicle behind us. And we were able to get in the car and go up to the next exit. But when you're on the turnpike, understand, there's no close next exit. And so we were about 5 miles away from the next exit. We went and got a couple of gas cans, and we started heading back. And as we're heading back, we're realizing, I don't know when we'll be able to cross the freeway to get to the other side. I don't know when the next exit is. So we started driving, looking at our GPS, and realizing that we were going to be about 20 miles before we could get off and turn around and come back to the vehicle. So we drove by the vehicle, and we're waving, and we're like, we'll see you sometime next spring. We drove down to the next exit and back. It was about, really, in the end, about 30 minutes that it took us. And the whole time, if you're like me, the whole time I'm kind of just beating myself up. I'm like, this is such a waste of time. I've just wasted all of these people's time, and it's all my fault. I don't like wasted time. Are you like that? Where you just don't like to waste time. And in our culture, it seems like everything is pressed, and there's not much time for anything, and you don't really have a lot of extra built-in time. No one likes waste. I don't like to wait at a light more than 30 seconds. I'm like, I got places to go. I've got things I've got to do. I don't like to waste money on a bad product. I don't like to buy a $6 iced drink and then get it up to my mouth and take one sip, and that's all I get because the whole thing is ice. Not that I do that a lot, but I don't like to waste. And so we have this story here, and no one likes waste. And the people watching this take place think this is a waste. Because Mary is pouring out this ointment on the feet of Jesus Christ. And she takes this spikenard, this fragrant oil, this perfume. And it was extremely rare and extremely, extremely valuable. And from what we understand, there was maybe about 12 ounces of this perfume, and it's kept in an alabaster box, which is, it's like a stone jar. And it's only used on special occasions, like at someone's death. And I don't have an object here to kind of show this, so I'm going to use this Kleenex box. And let's just say that this represents this clay jar. And this clay jar is full of this ointment that's worth a lot of money. And she takes this clay jar, and while they're sitting around the meal, and they would have not sat in chairs like we would sit. They would sit up there. They would lean on one side, basically reclining on one elbow, and their feet would be away from the table. And that's how they would eat. And so while Jesus is reclining around the table, then Mary takes this clay jar, and she goes to the feet of Jesus, and she breaks open the jar, and she pours it on his feet and starts to wash his feet with her hair. And when she starts this process, then Judas, who's not interested at all in the poor, he says, why is she doing this? It's a waste. And we could have sold this for 300 denarii. And 300 denarii equals about a year's salary, by the way. And if you follow Dave Ramsey, then 3 to 6 months of an emergency fund. It takes a long time sometimes to save up and have 3 to 6 months. Some of us have never been able to save up and have 3 to 6 months of an emergency fund. Let's just imagine that you do, and you save it up, and you've got 6 months of an emergency fund. Then you come to something like a missions conference or a missions revival, and you hear about a family going to Guyana, like the Yankana family, and you say, I want to help them get there. And so you empty out your emergency fund, and you give all of Brilliant Connors like, amen, preacher, preach about this. And you give it all to the Ancona family. I mean, would that be a small or a big thing in your life? It'd be a big thing. And here's a woman who doesn't have very much, but she takes this spikenard that's worth a year's salary, and she pours it on his feet. And the people around said, what a waste. But I want you to understand today where Mary is coming from. Her life had been changed by Jesus. Her eternal destiny was different because of the love of Jesus Christ. Her life was forever impacted by Jesus. The only way in her mind that she could express her love to her Savior was to do something big. And this makes me question sometimes when I read this, how much I love Jesus. I mean, I say I love Jesus. And I sing, oh, how I love Jesus. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice. And I think I mean it, but I've never given him a year's salary like this. This is more than saying she loves Jesus. She proves it. It's and it's unwasted love. And I will get to that. And here's how you know that it's unwasted love, is that you give no matter what it costs. We already heard what Brother Yankana talked about this morning. Mary wasn't concerned with the cost of the perfume. I mean, think about it. She just think about the process. I mean, and we'll just say that this is her shelf in her room, and she knows that Jesus is coming to supper. And she's thinking about him coming. And by the way, just a chapter before, her brother was dead. Now he's alive. So she goes to her room and she's like, I'm going to see Jesus at this meal today. And I want to show him how much I love him. And she's looking around. She's, how can I do this? How am I going to show him that I love him? And she's looking around and she's like, well, I don't know. What could I do? I mean, maybe I could make him something. I want to do something for him. And she walks by the shelf and she sees this clay jar. We don't know where she got it. Maybe it was a family heirloom. I mean, we know she didn't just pick it up on her way home on a whim. It's worth a year's salary. And she looks at it and she says, should I? And then she thinks about how she was lost and now she's found. And she thinks about how her brother was dead, but now he's alive. And she thinks about all the times that she had no hope and she had no direction in her life, but now everything is different. And she says, should I? Should I? And she says, I should. So she literally reaches up and grabs the jar off the shelf. And she says, today's the day. I want to show my Savior how much I love him. I want to show him how much I care for him. I want to show him what he means to me. And in her mind, she said, it doesn't matter what it costs me. Because I love him that much. A year's salary, yeah, but Jesus saved me. A year's salary, but he brought my brother back to life. A year's salary, yeah, but I have eternal life because of him. And friends, if you've been saved, nothing compares to what Jesus has done for you. He died on the cross for your sins and he paid the ultimate price and he gave his all so that you could have eternal life. He bore your sins on that tree. He endured his own father forsaking him so that you could have eternal life. And by the way, if you haven't placed your faith in Jesus Christ, there's no better day to do that than today. You must acknowledge your sin and admit that sin has a consequence and place your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You must believe by faith that there's no other way to heaven except through Him. And salvation costs you nothing, by the way. Jesus paid it all. And yet some people reject Him and they refuse Him and they think, I can do this by myself. And yet the Bible says, for by grace are you saved. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, well, there's some other way, surely. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. And you think, well, I'm just not that bad and I'm okay. No, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. And if you're on the fence today about Jesus, ask anyone who's ever been saved and they'll tell you it's totally worth it. Salvation is free, but understand this. Once you start following Jesus, that's when it starts to cost. And I'm not trying to discourage you today. We heard about it in Luke 14, how there is a cost if you follow me. Jesus said, if you come after me and hate not your father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, your own life also, you cannot be my disciple. There is a cost. The love of loving Jesus costs you. That's discipleship. It costs to follow. And you're not going to hear that in modern Christianity for the most part. But having Jesus ought to change the things about our life. It ought to cost us something. If you're going to walk with God, it's going to cost you some sleep. And if you're going to be committed to the kingdom, it's going to cost you your weekends. It's going to cost you your Wednesday nights. If you're going to follow God at school, young people, it may cost you a few friends. And it might cost you some popularity. And you say, well, the cost is too great. No, understand this. Anything that it costs you is not, it doesn't touch what you gain from it. So yes, there's a cost, but you gain eternity. And you gain a relationship with the God of heaven. And you gain peace that you could never have any other way. So yes, it comes at a cost. But I'm telling you, the costs are worth it. And when you have unwasted love for Jesus Christ, there's a cost. But second, if there's unwasted love, you'll serve no matter how humbling it is. Verse 3, the typical thing, look, it says, then took Mary this pound of ointment, a spikenard very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I mean, just think about this. The typical thing in this situation would be to anoint someone's head. I mean, to refresh them, to give them a better smell because they've been walking on dusty roads. But Mary got down and anointed his feet. And she didn't use a towel. She used her hair. And just think about the feet of Jesus. And yes, he's God, but he was also all man. He had a body like us, and he walked those dusty roads, and there was dirt everywhere. There was dirt on the roads. There's dirt on the floor of the home. And his feet are dirty. And yet, when she gets down, she pours the ointment on his feet, and she starts to wipe his feet with her hair out of respect and out of love. And what happens when you mix dirt with something liquid? Mud. So just imagine it. She's wiping his feet with her hair, and her hair is getting clumpy with mud. Her fingers are dirty. It's dirty. It's not desirable. And yet she continues to wipe it. She continues to anoint his feet and wipe his feet. And she doesn't care how humbling it is. Because when you recognize what Jesus has done for you, not only do you not care about the cost, but you're also willing to serve no matter how humbling it is. Which means that there's no job beneath you. And there's nothing that gets asked of you at church that you say, well, I'm kind of above that job. I mean, from the toilets to the plumbing to anything else, there's nothing above a servant. Because you recognize what Jesus has done for you. And she was humbled by this, but she didn't really mind because she knew where she would be without this man. And no matter how humbling it is, and there is something humbling about serving, and there's something humbling about it. But before you think, well, this sounds unreasonable, I don't want to be humiliated. No, the one who spoke the world into existence, he limited himself to one human body. You talk about humbling. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. So anything that we do that seems humbling doesn't touch the humbling that Jesus Christ himself went through. This is unwasted love, in that you give no matter the cost and you serve no matter how humbling it is. And this is the third, and probably the biggest for today, is that you do right no matter what other people say. You do right no matter what others say. Because we read our story here, and Judas said, why wasn't this ointment sold? We could have fed the poor. And he's all, you know, high and mighty about it. We could have used this for more important things. And we judge Judas about this. But understand this. Matthew 26 says, when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. It wasn't just Judas being judgy. It wasn't just Judas being pious. Mark 14 says there were some that had indignation within themselves, meaning it was more than one person. They said, why was this waste of the ointment made? They murmured against her. It wasn't just Judas. The other disciples were saying, this is a waste. This perfume, what they're saying, listen, think about it. They're saying this perfume was wasted on Jesus. And that seems blasphemous, doesn't it? That's wasted on Jesus. I can't believe. Now count on this. If you love Jesus Christ enough with all your heart and you choose to do something for him and express it, there are going to be people that criticize you for it. And I want you to just understand this. There are always two voices in our lives. There are those, when you try to do something for God, there are those that say, I can't believe they're wasting their lives. Brother Yankana had a good career in law enforcement. And people in his life, I don't know if this happened, but I wouldn't be surprised if some people in his life said, why are you leaving a solid career in the United States and going to Guyana? That's a waste. I mean, we would say, well, I would never say that, but it doesn't mean we don't think it sometimes. I mean, because there are probably people in this room, and you have a really good job, and you have a good home, and you have nice things, and you may not admit it out loud, but if somebody ever came and said, I think that God is calling you to leave everything and go to a mission field, you would not say it out loud, but you'd probably in your mind think, well, that would be a waste. Because look at all that I have. There are going to be people in your life, when you start to give to missions, they say, you could pay your car off early. You could pay your house off. What a waste. You're giving it to the church? I mean, that's not a very good investment. There aren't really clear returns on that investment. That's a waste. Listen, when you start to express your love to Jesus Christ and you start to do something for the Lord, just understand there will be voices in your life that criticize your decisions and say that is a waste of your resources. It's a waste of your talents. It's a waste of your money. It's a waste of your time to knock on doors. Nobody ever opens, and if they do, they get mad at you. What a waste. And if we're not careful, we'll start to listen to the voices in our life that say it's a waste. Rather than recognizing how God views it when we give of ourselves to the Lord. See, the truth is, love expressed for Jesus is never wasted. Jesus says, let her alone. I kind of wish he'd have said, shut up. That might be what I would have said. Leave her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. You know, and many of you and us have been through burying somebody special to you. Your families often want to do something special. As a pastor, I sit in funeral homes and I meet with funeral home directors and meet with family, and they're picking things out. And before, they might have said, you know, we're going to go the cheapest route. We're going to go the least expensive, and they don't care anyway. But you get into that room and you start to make those decisions, and families start to recognize, wait, this person meant a lot to me. And they say, yeah, we could go this route, but I really want to do this. And we could go the bare minimum, but I really want to do this. Why? Why do people do that? Because that person meant a lot to them. They valued them. They loved them, and they want to do justice by their memory, and they want to express their love. And if you were to say, oh, come on, why did you go that far? If you were to walk in a service and say, why did you go? That casket's way too expensive. You should have done something less expensive. And we would say that's insensitive and that's inappropriate, because they valued that person, and to respect their memory, let them do that because they love them. Listen, when it's someone that you love, it's not waste, it's worthy. That's what Jesus is saying about Mary. He says this act will be talked about until the end of time. Her love is not wasted on me. And here's the reason that we learn, or here's the lesson we learn, is that giving is an expression of what Jesus means to us. And I want you to understand it. I love missionaries. I love the Encana family. I love that they're going to Guyana. I love all the missionaries that Eastside Baptist Church support. And we support dozens and dozens of missionaries. And I'm so thankful for all of them. But understand this, it would be wrong of me to stand before our church in a week and a half when we have our missions revival. It would be wrong for me to stand up and say, we need to give because these missionaries deserve it. Do they deserve it? I think so. But that's not the reason we give. You don't give because Brother Yankana needs your support. And you don't give because he's got cute kids. He does. And you don't give because his wife's a better singer than him. Although that's true. You know why you give? Because you ought to express how much Jesus means to you. We give not for any earthly reasons. We give because without Jesus Christ, our lives would be headed down the wrong path. We give because without Jesus, we would be going the wrong direction. We give because without Jesus, our eternity would be hell. We give because without Jesus, we'd have no peace. And we'd have no hope, and we would have no help in our lives. We give, though, because Jesus Christ has changed us and he's worked in our lives. We give not just to give to missionaries. We give because of what Jesus means to us. And this week is not about missionaries. It is about this. What has Jesus done for you? And when you stop and think about what he's done, you recognize, I'm coming to every service this week because that's what Jesus means to me. It's not about your pastor saying you should be at every service. If Jesus means something to you, you ought to be here tonight at 5:30. I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm just saying without him, you'd have nothing. If Jesus means something to you, you ought to be here tomorrow night. And if nothing else, to hear my wife preach. She's good, so. If Jesus means anything to me, to you, you ought to be here on Tuesday night and Wednesday night. Hey, listen, and I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm just telling you what the scriptural motivation to give is. The scriptural motivation to give is not because the preacher gets up and says, you ought to give more to missions this year. No, if Jesus means anything to you, then when it comes time to turn your card in, you say, well, I don't know, the Holy Spirit's trying to tell me I should give a little bit more this year. And I just don't know if I can, but Jesus means enough to me that if the Holy Spirit leads me to up my commitments, I'm going to do it. Not because I got guilted into it, and not because I feel bad, and not because of this or that. It's because of what Jesus Christ has done in my life. There's nothing that he asks of us that he's not worthy of. And I just want to convey to you today, you can't waste your love on Jesus Christ. And if he calls you this week to go to Guyana or some other country, there's nothing he asks of you that's wasted. And if you want to express your love in a very sacrificial way somehow, and you want to give more than you think you probably ought to because that's how the Lord's leading you to, I can tell you this, it's never wasted. Because if Christ saw you as worthy, then nothing you do for him is wasted. I read recently, and I'll move on. We're almost done. Mike Tyson is a famous boxer. We all know who he is. He was once the most feared fighter on the planet. He had it all. He had money and fame and women and video. I mean, he had a video game. I used to play it in middle school. Mike Tyson's Punch Out, I think, is what it was called. He also had a very notable and cool lisp that we all tried to mimic. His life had everything. But you know, at the end of it, toward the end, he's still alive, but in more recent years, I heard him say a quote that really dawned on me how empty it all is. He said, "My whole life has been a waste." He has no money. He's still famous, but his life has been ruined by bankruptcy and drugs and addiction. He said, "My whole life has been a waste. I've been a failure." And I don't know his spiritual condition, but his assessment is a reminder that God and the world have very different ideas about what's waste and what's not. And all these voices that say, "You're wasting your life if you live for Jesus." But in the eyes of God, a life without Christ is the wasted life. And I want to compare him to a missionary out of our church. We were talking about Ghana today. We have a missionary out of our church that's actually in Ghana, West Africa. So I got the question right. We've been to Ghana. We're going back in January to see this missionary. His name is James Ruckman. He's an awesome missionary. Brother Ruckman is one of the most gifted preachers I've ever heard. He's an incredible preacher. He loves God. He has a zeal for God. He has a contagious spirit. When you're around him, you're like, "I want what he's having." Because he's so excitable. He's so just ready to serve, and he loves people, and he loves God, and he just has this contagious spirit. And when you're around him, you want to serve and follow Jesus. But Brother Ruckman, his ministry, his whole life, his ministry has been, he started out after Bible college. He went to the town of Hoban, South Dakota, which is up in the north central part of the state, population 379. And he planted a church, and he was there for about 20 years, just faithfully serving. Well, one day a missionary came through to Africa, and God started to work in his heart about going to Ghana, West Africa. So he did. And now he's in Ghana, West Africa, and he's planting churches, and he's reaching souls by the hundreds, maybe by the thousands. They just built this giant complex for an orphanage and a Christian school, and he's planting churches, and they're buying and building buildings, and they're doing all this incredible stuff. And you know, though, what some people in his life have told him, "Brother Ruckman, your talents are wasted in Africa. Your talents are wasted in small town South Dakota. You have enough going for you. You need to be in a big city. You need to be preaching to a big church. You need to be preaching all across the nation. And you need to be getting out there and making a difference right here in the States." And Brother Ruckman's heart is this. He's like, I don't really know that I'm more talented than anybody else. He says, "But what I do know is that Jesus Christ has changed my life. And because he's changed my life, I will do anything that he asks me to do. If it's Hoban, South Dakota, or Ghana, West Africa, I don't really care if anybody ever knows my name. Because Jesus has changed me. And there's no expression of my love to him that's wasted." And I don't know what God's going to ask you to do this week, but understand this, there's no expression of your love to Jesus that's ever wasted. And whatever he leads you to do, whatever he leads you to give, wherever he leads you to go, which he could call somebody out of this church this week, whatever he asks you to do, if he says, "I want you to start committing on Saturdays to go reach the souls of Leavenworth, Kansas," you say, "That seems like a waste of time." Nope, there's nothing you do for Jesus that's ever wasted. He sees it all. He rewards it all. I'm going to read a verse out of Colossians just to remind you that it's worth it here. It says in Colossians chapter 3, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. If you express your love to Jesus, no matter what it is, no matter what it costs you, no matter how humbling it is, and no matter what other people say, He rewards us for our faithful efforts. And this week is about Jesus Christ asking, what are you willing to do for me? And I'm telling you this, whatever you answer, it's never wasted. You can't possibly waste your love on Jesus. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, He didn't waste His love on us. He saw us as worth it. And He gave Himself so that we could be saved and serve Him in return. What will you do for Jesus Christ this week based on what He's done for you? Let's stand together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll have a verse of invitation here. I want to ask you today, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? And if you don't, would you be willing to submit yourself today to the Holy Spirit's leadership and say, I need to be saved today? To the Christians this morning, is He asking you to do something for Him that feels uncomfortable, that feels humbling, that feels like the cost is too great? What's He asking of you this week? I really believe that you'll discover if you just say yes to whatever He asks, it's never wasted. Whatever He asks you to give, you can't waste it on Him. Wherever He asks you to go, you can't waste it. Whoever He asks you to tell about Himself, you can't waste it. Would you be willing to say, Father, whatever it is that You ask of me, I give it to You because I don't want my life to be wasted on lesser things. Would you be willing to submit yourself to Him this morning? I would ask you that if you are, would you start the Missions Revival Week off by humbling yourself before God, bowing before Him, and submitting to whatever it is He's going to ask of you this week. Father, we pray for Your help. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be humble before You. We say to You today, whatever You ask, we give it. Help us not to waste a week. Help us to live for You and express our love for You. Whatever You ask of us, we say yes. In Jesus' name, amen.